So let's go ahead and take our seats. We're going to get started.
Recorded live for no good reason in particular, from the darkest depths of the nanny state, all lathered up with our white privilege, it's the new Indispensable Show with Sable and Dave.
You know, Dave, we heard from the Darkest Knights.
We did?
Yeah, they're the Order of the Themblars.
Uh-huh. The Themblars?
Yeah.
I'm not following that one.
Not any. All right, never mind. Where's my new sound here?
That opening sounds like it's probably from like the impeachment hearings, but I know it's not. Let's all get started. We're about to take your seats. Was it? Yeah. Ah, perfect.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. My name is Sable Cantus. I'm a musician and podcaster in Orange County, California.
Indeed you are. And I am Dave Smith, microscopically successful screenwriter and podcaster. And now, morning joke TV writer. No, TV... Morning TV joke writer. I don't know. Yeah, I had a little thing happen to me last week that was kind of fun.
You write jokes in the morning.
I try to write jokes in the morning, in the evening, and then whenever I have time, I'm working on a little joke packet. I'm going to try to, you know, fill up and send around. But anyway, I do write some jokes for a gal named Miss Movie Phone. She was on Good Day LA, and... used a few of my jokes. It was quite pleasant to see them get some laughs on the telly.
They got some laughs. And how do you feel about that?
I was very excited. She gets on TV all the time, but I told her I was very tickled that she used some of my jokes. And the really good thing is she didn't use all of them, and some of them are funny, so I've recycled them for the show.
Hey, you're a comedian, right? Tell me a joke.
You are Johnny Carson, yeah, right? Yeah.
He just laughed at me, folks, and picked up his alcohol.
I thought you were doing a line from Annie Hall where he's out in front of the movie theater waiting for Diane Keaton, and those two guys come up and start talking to him. Yeah, you on TV, right? And he's like, yeah, once in a while. Yeah, Johnny Carson show, right? Yeah, and they wanted to get a picture and an autograph from my girlfriend. Her name's Ralph. It's like, your girlfriend's name's Ralph? It's from my Prada. Great movie.
That is a good movie. If I was a better film geek, I would have quoted that exactly.
I know, yeah. But you were doing other things like getting laid. Well, of course, I was only 10 when that came out, so you weren't getting laid at that time because I'm older.
No,
than you
I was
even.
Not getting laid when you were 10.
You were in a band, so you had you weren't I didn't. I spent the time I should have been getting laid watching movies and like cataloging all kinds of movie memories and trivia and shit like that I don't need now.
It's excellent. You win all those games?
I do a fair amount win those type of games. It's 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s cinema, I'm pretty good. Then I have a lacuna after that because I had kids. You know, when you have children, that shit kind of goes out the window. You don't watch nearly as many movies. I used to see over 100 movies a year for sure,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, not so much.
Well, we have different priorities now.
Yes.
So when I started my kids playing music, everybody said, hey, you're going to have a family band? You know, like some famous TV show,
The Partridge Family. The Cowsills.
Whatever. You know, there's always some family of musicians that are always on tour.
The Cantus Five.
And I said, hey, that'd be pretty cool, man. I'd like that. I got a new voice tonight. This is my blended Scotch whiskey voice. And as it turns out, a couple years ago, Ethan and I, as he was doing his drum recital, we did a Hanukkah song together. Mm-hmm. And then we did another song later on, and now he joined in February. He joined me for a few songs of the big concert that we did, the rock and roll show. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing a whole Christmas concert next month, and my 10-year-old's playing drums in the band. Cool.
Yeah, that's going to be very fun. I'm sort of an MC for that show. Come on out, everybody. Let's sell some tickets.
And you're going to be a solo. Mm-hmm,
yeah, I got a little solo song.
Actually, I don't think we can invite anybody. The tickets are mostly sold out.
Oh, bummer. Well, you can stand up front and be angry, and then maybe they'll add another show.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay me enough to do two shows, though.
No. No, sadly, no. So what have you been up to? I got a list of stuff to talk about here over the last couple of weeks if you want me to just launch into it. Otherwise, if you have anything specific you wanted to talk about, let me know.
We have a pretty good list going on right now. So let's jump right into your list.
All right. I was this happened probably right after our other show with little Miss Young Miss Greta Thunberg,
Thunberg,
the climate activist.
You know, I really think that poor girl, and I think of her as a poor girl, is being abused.
I think she is as well.
I think she's a little bit on the spectrum, and she's being told these devastating, horrible lies, the kind of things that you persuade bitter, old, angry men and women with because they don't really listen. But she's taking everything at face value.
Yeah.
And I think that mentally she's falling apart.
She's probably petrified to go to sleep. It's like when we were kids about the Russians are going to nuke us at any moment. But I even didn't even really believe that for sure. I think she really believes like she could wake up in like and be melting or something.
I think her and many, many youth today feel that way. And this is going to be a big national tragedy in 11 years when it doesn't happen.
It's going to be delayed an extra 2 years after that, Sable. But
it's
she was
gonna
actually
be like Brexit. It'll
she
never
turned
happen.
Down a climate award. Were you aware of this? Did you hear this?
No, tell me.
I don't know what the award is called. Although if it's not called the Broken Globes, I would be super pissed. How awesome would that be? And I wish I was there too for that because she's going to win her award, red carpet, you know, and she's all dressed up and it says, you know, and the Broken Globe Award for most dramatic performance in a UN meeting goes to Greta Thunberg.
Perfect.
And then she doesn't accept it, which means that Sasheen Littlefeather has two major awards now. Anybody get that one? You know who Sasheen Littlefeather is?
Nobody got it.
We have a great thing where I do a joke and then I explain the joke to everyone.
Wait, do you remember the Indian that was crying because of the garbage?
For the garbage, yeah.
Was that?
No. But that's a good guess if you don't know. Sasheen Littlefeather is the Native American woman who came up and told the Academy that Marlon Brando was not going to accept his Best Actor Award for The Godfather because of the treatment of Native Americans by the United States government. They just like said he's not going to accept. She came up and said, I think she walked off with it though. So I don't know, like, does she have it? I don't know if he gave it to her.
He might have.
Yeah. So now she's got the Broken Globe Award for Best Dramatic Performance.
Marlon Brando's interesting because he changed the way men acted in movies. I didn't really notice this.
I've done this a couple of times. This thing has like a weird lip. This glass has a weird lip on it where you tend to drool a little bit on it. Have you done that?
No, I have. I haven't. I haven't
I
had
guess
enough
it's just me.
Drink. To, all right. So let me explain what's happening here. I got as a random fancy present, way too expensive whiskey glasses that are laser engineered. I can't even tell you the name. It's some kind of. I'm afraid to even mention the price.
They
anyway,
look Star Trekian, you might drink like
they are engineered
ale out of it.
Engineered in two parts. There's a vacuum seal between the glass that is etched and the metal on the outside, and it's designed to capture the light and make it look like your drink is lit up.
Yeah,
from
it looks
the bottom.
Like there's a light in there. It's great,
and it's supposed to get the nose smell optimally for you to taste scotch.
That's what else we got here?
This week in what? Guys Who Drink. This is a drinking club, you know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I do want to mention that in LA there is a ridiculously crazy option for living, for economical living that I wish I had thought of. It's brilliant.
Is this the little capsules that they live in?
You've heard about the capsules.
Yes.
Okay, so I had to look into this. I did not hear about the capsules. Now, let me back you up. When I went on my solo trip to Japan many, many years ago, the cheapest hotel you could stay at was about $30, $35 a night, my recollection, and it was called a capsule hotel, Kapsuru Hoteru. Mm. And you stacked two people on top of each other. You didn't have enough room to sit up.
Are they naked? Just kidding.
You sort of slid your feet in. You could sit.
You're
prop
like a
up.
Tube, like a you
think,
have your own.
Think
bed.
Of an yeah, oversized coffin.
They're not directly
coffin.
Sliding you on top of another person. It's like well, a. You know,
think of an oversized coffin stacked too high. You could sort of sit up on your elbow, and there was a TV there, and the top. I was told, don't touch the top of the capsule.
It's like electrified or something?
No, I was assuming that guys were going in there after a late night and leaving a mess on it.
No.
But then when you got out of the capsule hotel, and this was what was so interesting and actually made my Japan trip way back when, before I joined the military, kind of interesting. There was a central area for couches to sit down and read and hang out. There was a central bathing area with probably 30 or 35 little stations where you sat down and scrubbed yourself. And there was a hot and a cold water bath that you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the capsule hotel.
Yeah.
So, it was the only way that I was able to spend all my time in Tokyo because I was wildly unprepared in those days. I had a couple $100 and somehow I made it last. Mm-hmm. Got free bread from the bakery. Anyway, so when I read about the capsules, my iPad browser is crashing on this page. Thanks a lot, Yahoo. So I'll have to just go by memory. This page is not going to load. I'm not even going to be able to get off the page. So in Los Angeles, the article I read was saying how these people were renting an apartment that was about 600 square feet. So that's a little bit bigger than this barn.
Yeah.
This barn is about 380 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sizable, enough to have a bedroom and a bathroom. I mean, it's not bad for single living. But when I looked into it, what it is, you become a member of the big house that has 30 different rooms, and you get assigned a little living space of your own. You don't really have room for your stuff because you could be bunking with somebody. You could have one little closet. You could have your 600 square feet if you paid the money for it. But what you get is a bunch of workspaces, art spaces to work, recording spaces to work. You have a shared kitchen, shared meals, all your internet, all your utilities. Everything's paid for, $750 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed, you have to apply to become a member of the community in order to live there.
Yeah.
So people are moving to Hollywood from all over the country. And now they have an option of staying, instead of on the street, in an artist colony.
I had my own studio apartment in Van Nuys for like $750, I think it was. But that was like 10 years ago.
Probably $1,500 now.
Yeah, it probably is. And that's Van Nuys, the valley. Where is this place? Like downtown or is it Hollywood?
Hollywood. It's in Hollywood.
Yeah. So leave it to Hollywood to sort of like the article seemed to suggest, hey, look at this new thing, but they really just, it's just an old Japanese idea, which is,
I think it's
a lot of the movies they're making, which is just,
I think it's
old Japanese idea.
Yeah, it's a combination of the Japanese idea with the community spaces and the very small sleeping quarters.
Yeah.
Which is similar to how it was in the military, actually.
I think they're curtains, though, which is kind of weird.
I think it depends.
Okay.
It's a big building with
30
rooms. Yeah. But you're not allowed to have guests sleep
over. I wouldn't want any young ladies slipping in there and trying to have intercourse with me unannounced.
Well, you
I should
probably
knock first so that I can let them in.
You'd be sexually assaulted. The women would be all over you.
Ah, yeah.
An older, successful man whose jokes were on national television.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let's face it. But you didn't want to talk about jokes. You wanted to talk about butt geek.
But about buttigieg?
How do you say that?
I think it's buttigieg.
How do you get that?
You can, from having intercourse, unprotected sex with politicians, you can get that. But he is cute. He could put his butt in my zhizh any old time. And anyway. Now, there was an article I'd seen a couple weeks ago that mentioned that he was having a problem with black voters. And what is that problem?
Were they robbing him?
No. No, no, you might assume that because they're black. Just kidding. Come on, people. There we go. No, they have a lot of them seem to have a problem with his sexual orientation. You know,
okay.
The fact that he loves cock, that bothered them a little bit. Men and women alike. Did you read the whole article?
Yeah, but you sent it to me
a week and a half ago.
I think I've read 1,000 articles since then. So why don't you just tell me some more about it?
I read it really quickly, but the upshot was no judgment at all about them not being ready to vote for a homosexual guy. No judgment. What if, tell me, Sable, if they had done this article on white Christian males in Alabama who had a problem with his being gay, front page news, probably.
That's racist.
Exactly.
That would have been it right there.
Yeah. Well, that's homophobic. I sound just like the guy in that recording.
You do,
that
actually.
That was me live. That wasn't a recording. But this is part of my thing where you Democrats, you don't treat black folks like adults.
A whispering is not going to work in a car on the podcast.
I should do stage whisper, right? Yeah. You don't treat black people like adults, do you? Because the black people get a pass because I don't know why. Well, they're not very advanced. Or basically, I think y'all think they're a little bit dumb, the black folks. That's why there's no judgment. If it was white guys, I guess the Democrats expect more out of white people. Is that what it is?
I think this is a problem with intersectionality, the sort of politics of intersectionality that we've been suffering through the last few years, where you say, well, if you're, you get points for how far off of the mainstream you are, how tribal you can be.
Yeah.
If you are a lesbian black woman, you sort of get maximum points because you're a woman of color, you're a woman, and you're homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
So they get more points because they're black women, because they're homophobic. Those are all different intersections that give them more points from everybody that isn't I don't want to say the normal. If you were looking at statistics, if the 80% of people would fall into the middle of the bell curve and they would be the heterosexual people. And then the 10% on the other ends would be everybody who wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So
and I've seen this story pop up in lots of different papers. I'll check them. No mention of black people are homophobic. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. No judgment at all. Very interesting. I thought, well, okay. And one of them mentioned that, I thought this was kind of funny because he's Buttigieg. One of the things he's doing to appeal to the black voter is he's got this thing, I think it's called, he was calling it like the Douglas Act or something. It's named after Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
Which is, I actually thought this, it's called the Douglass Proposal, I think it is. It is actually ironic, unlike the song Ironic, wherein none of the things she mentions is
nothing
ironic.
Nothing is ironic in the song Ironic, except the fact that nothing is ironic?
I didn't think of that. That's ironic that nothing in the Ironic song is ironic. Huh. Maybe she's pulled the wool over my eyes all these years.
It's meta.
Alanis Morissette. It's very meta.
The whole song was meta.
Yeah.
And she got you, Dave.
She got me. Wow. Anyway, so Frederick Douglass, who you don't know, is one of the most impressive human beings ever to have lived. He's a slave, grew up a slave, escaped into the North, a slave in America, by the way, because there's lots of slaves all over the world and all times in historical times. But he was an American one in the South and escaped and just became this amazing intellectual guy. He's kind of hot too. If you look at him, you're like, damn, that guy's looking fucking good. And he had this like wild ass hair, super intense stare, good looking guy, super smart. But the funny part is, when, you know, people would ask him, you know, what are we going to do with the 4 million slaves? And I'm just going to read a little bit of what he had said. He said, "What shall be done with the 4 million slaves if they are emancipated? Our answer is, do nothing with them. Mind your business and let them mind theirs. Your doing with them is their greatest misfortune. They've been undone by your doings, and all they now ask and really have need of at your hands is just to let them alone. They suffer by every interference and succeed best by being let alone." He goes on to say stuff like, just don't shut the door in his face nor bolt your gates against him. He has a right to learn. Let him alone. Don't pass laws to degrade him. If he has a ballot in his hand and is on his way to the ballot box to deposit his vote, just leave him alone. There's even a spot where he was saying like something about, you know, when the government's doing too much for them, you know, if he doesn't work, you know, let him starve, you know, that kind of stuff. But the Buttigieg thing he took the name from is basically more like finger on the scale. Let's help the black people. Like, I don't think he knows.
I think that's the opposite of what you just read.
Basically, yeah. He's ironic. This I say it's ironic. He's taking what Douglas would say. Hey, I just said not to do that.
Right.
But he's doing that, and I don't think Buttigieg has. Has he ever heard any of the arguments? Even and I'm quoting like black dudes, older black guys like Walter.
I think I know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Mayor Pete is quoting Fredericks of Hollywood.
Frederick Douglass
of
is that why he's doing
whoa.
That's so
you're going,
I'm so homophobic.
You're going deep here.
Yeah.
I'm so gonna get yelled at by our audience.
I know. What? I like the gay man. I have gay friends.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm not even tromboning for that.
I actually would not be scared if Buttigieg was president. That's fine. It's like he has a little military experience. I think he's just as dumb as every other Democrat or Republican who's running. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think he ever has heard a guy like Tom Sowell say, hey, you know, it's kind of like your meddling that has actually sent us black folks off the cliff into, because I've said this before on our show is, if you look at their rise from when slavery was abolished, mm-hmm. even through Jim Crow and all that shit they had to go through, they were getting better and better, better income, better educated, better jobs. They had a very tight family unit all the way up until the government decided to help. Mm-hmm. And they started doing, hey, let's encourage the young ladies to go ahead and have babies without any dad around. And if the dad comes back, let's take their money away. Let's discourage that. And let's make other races angry by giving them preferential treatment, you know, and casting doubt on a black guy who gets a job. Everyone assumes he got it just because he was black. This is all bad stuff. I don't think Buttigieg's probably ever heard any of this stuff. Has he? Do you think?
I think I know what you're referring to in all those cases, but boy, are they going to come out wrong with our listeners.
Look, okay.
We did talk at one point on another podcast, maybe a couple years ago, about some of the Democrat policies from the 50s and 60s that were offering housing and different, not even appropriations, different public services for black communities where the men weren't allowed to come into the housing units. The women were isolated. There was sneaking through the windows, and it was fostering the dads to not be part of the family unit, which is the biggest problem that you can do to any family is to keep the parents away.
Yeah. That's problem number one is right there is broken up families. If you know, I know. Yes, most people think you don't need a dad to raise a kid, or you don't need a mom. Nope. One parent's fine.
Nope, that's not how it works anymore.
Mm-hmm. And if you if we have some listeners who think I'm a racist asshole who got these ideas from this KKK meeting, no, try Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, these type of people. This is who I get these ideas from. So if you think my ideas are stupid, then you therefore must be a racist because I got those ideas from these older black fellows. So why are you such a racist, man?
Well, see, because you are you're a middle-aged, straight, white guy.
Cisgender. I prefer cisgender.
Yeah, that's a made-up word. That word doesn't exist. Come on. I had to look it up after our last couple conversations. It was driving me crazy. So.
Oh, I had a joke about that. It doesn't social
exist.
Justice warrior math. I had a cisgender joke.
Oh, yeah, somewhere. There's no math in that. There's no math in that either. So you are obviously racist whenever you have an opinion that may be less than fully educated.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's because you're racist, not because you haven't been exposed to all the information and nobody who is an actual expert in the field has had a chance to make an argument to you that you could understand. But if you were anybody else, you would just be ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
It's part of the oppression, you know.
Oh my! So that's my thing on Buttigieg.
Boy, I killed it. I think Mayor Pete has good intentions, and it's.
I would love to have him move into the White House, and we have a first gentleman. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Yeah, but
instead of a first lady,
he's not so offensive in what he says that I would be
no.
terribly upset if he was in charge.
No, I'd be yeah.
But
fine.
The problem is the rest of the world is not going to go for it. We'd lose our allies. You know,
oh, really? Like who? Like which ones do you
well,
think would?
Well, let me tell you, our number one ally, Saudi Arabia, They throw gay people off of tall buildings.
That is true. Do you think they'd interrupt like a meeting with him to throw him off a tall building, like right in the middle of it?
I don't think they would, but I'll bet they wouldn't have him over to the palace.
Yeah, probably not.
That's the entire Middle East. Like the
it's so weird that you'd invite Trump over, but you wouldn't invite that guy over. Like, Trump, really? You'll invite him into your house? Ew.
Yeah, who cares? He's just a guy that blows hot air.
I know. But he's yucky. I've always thought he was yucky since the 80s. I'm predisposed to not like that guy.
I think I'm the only person that didn't have an opinion on Trump before he became the president.
Yeah.
I didn't have any baggage. I didn't know anything about him. I never watched his TV shows. I never followed him on anything. And I think the first time I had heard about Trump was when he came out talking about Obama and wanted to see the birth certificate.
Yeah, well, obviously, if we compiled all of his tweets, he looks like a mental patient. You know, he really does. And did you see the thing recently where he got ordered to pay $2 million because his nonprofit or charity, whatever, the Trump Foundation or whatever, like, basically got caught just, like, siphoning money out and using it for the campaign. And so he's like, he agreed to pay the money. Also said they're going to create some new charities. Two of them were for immigrant families. One was the Crush a Wish Foundation.
Ooh, Crush a Wish. I like that.
And there's one called Doctors Behind Borders.
Uh huh.
And then there's one that's, I don't know about this one. It's kind of based on the Salvation Army. It was aimed at solving black unemployment. Kind of tone deaf. They're calling it the Plantation Army. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Well, I figured it's
called the Plantation Army. I can't do him at all. I cannot do Trump.
Instead of getting up and walking 2 feet over to the drum set, I figure I would.
Yeah, we're sitting next to a beautiful drum set, and you're using the keyboard.
I would pre-record them. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, you asked me for some sound effects, so I got them for you.
We didn't talk about Halloween, but thankfully we aren't. But did you hear about that?
I did want to mention Halloween when we got to the beef bunker.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that extreme? I had a note here. Where the hell is it? The extreme haunted house where they had people, like, you had to sign all kinds of waivers to get into it.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. A friend did it. It was pretty horrifying. He was actually forced to spend the night locked inside Gary Busey's house.
Can you
imagine? And then, and Gary Busey was actually there too, which makes this even more frightening. And they said, and in the morning, he was taken to his new job as White House press secretary. Can you imagine? There's another package where you spend the day as Lindsay Lohan's therapist too, but most people pick the other one because that one seems too horrifying too. But anyway, that's not real. That's just jokes. Sable, you're looking at me like, wow.
I like these
sound effects.
I wanted to see how long you were going to go on that roll. Let's go over to the beef bunker before it gets past midnight.
All right,
I don't have
anything for beef, but hopefully you do, so let me know.
You don't have anything for the beef bunker?
I don't think I have anything for the beef bunker.
Well, let's get in there and talk about Halloween candy.
Let's see what's up, yeah. So funky.
That's my guitar playing
right there.
It's
so funky, yeah. It's good stuff, man.
So this is the first beef bunker post-Halloween.
Yeah, I think I did add a few pounds to the midsection because of my girl's candy sitting around the house all the time. And eventually I would kind of get some and I'd get into it, as I say.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
I would let myself have a few pieces. And then the next day I would let myself have a few pieces. And this went on every day for a week.
This is how we get fat and sick, is we eat Halloween candy.
Well, so you start off like, oh, I'm just going to have a little bit of candy. It's no big deal. The candy's right here. It's going to be gone soon. Oh, there's some. I like Reese's. There's a couple Reese's over there. Oh, there's some peanut M&Ms. And they're just small. You know, they're the little bite-sized kind.
Yeah, the bite-sized ones.
So, you know, you get two or three of those. No big deal. But I was thinking the first couple of days, I'd have a couple pieces of those candy and then I'd get all tired. Oh, I gotta, the sugar. But a couple days in, I have a couple of those. I'm like, oh, I need some more.
Of course.
Just like that.
Yeah.
It took a couple of days, and my resistance was back. I wasn't like going into a sugar crash after some of the candy. And all of a sudden,
my body's getting used to the toxin again, the poison.
And my pants were getting tight. just in 3 days. I was like, ooh.
And not in the right area, right? Actually, they were on the waist.
That's right. The waist. Yeah.
Okay.
They don't get tight the other way for chocolate, let me tell you. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. I was having an interesting, what I thought was interesting, conversation with the wife. Yep. Sorry, ladies. I'm taken. We were talking about alcohol. Mm-hmm. Apparently, in the keto community, I'm not really keto. I'm just for, you know, low carb. I go in and out of ketosis and stuff. So I'm fairly ketogenic, but I eat low carb, high fat kind of stuff. But there's apparently the keto people, she has a keto coach that she talks to, and she goes to some of these cruises and meetings and whatever.
The coach? Or
the coach, the coach does.
Okay.
And she's saying, boy, the keto people like to drink. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I have a theory. You want to hear what my theory is?
About what's your theory?
More? And they kind of seem to drink more than they used to before they were keto. And here's the deal. I think this is totally true. It's just my hunch here. But, you know, educated guess. When, like you're just saying, the that Halloween candy
popped your lips on the mic.
That was totally accidental too.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when you grow up eating basically candy 4 or 5 or 6 times a day, which is what we do, Pop-Tarts, mm-hmm. cereal, you know, sandwiches, pasta, mm-hmm. popcorn, candy,
rice,
and actual candy, rice, everything. Yeah, it's basically candy. Your liver thinks it's candy. You actually, even if you don't know it, you are getting a dopamine hit. It's activating your pleasure center every time you eat this, right? So if you're drinking alcohol with that sometimes, it's kind of like, a little bit more pleasure center activation, you know. And then here's the when you stop that stuff for a long period of time, guess what? No more dopamine hits from food or things you're ingesting. You're just getting, and it's much better this way. You're actually getting the actual satisfaction from your food where you're, your hormones, ghrelin and leptin, are working properly. The ones that say, hey, I'm hungry, feed me. And then the ones say, hey, I'm full, stop eating. These things actually work now. So you're able to eat and stop when you need to.
That's what a high protein diet does. It gives you that I'm feeling full.
Yes.
It's called satiety. You're like, wow, I had enough to eat. I don't want anymore. This is great.
You can easily put it away, push it away for tomorrow. Now, also another thing that happens. So on the one hand, you're missing that brain pleasure from food and drink. But when you do, if you're in ketosis and you have a bourbon, holy shit, it hits you 10 times quicker.
Yeah, it's good.
And it is good. It's a good, you're like, holy crap.
One bourbon after a fast.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
You're flying off of a bourbon and you're like, wow, wait a second. So you actually start to enjoy the liquor more than you ever did before because of that. And, you know, bourbon's keto. It's generally, you know. Just keep in mind, folks, when you do enjoy that, your body has to pause everything it's doing and deal with your alcohol first because it can't store it. It's a toxin. It needs to get rid of it. So
any
fat burning that you were doing, you say you ate really good all day and then you have a couple bourbons, it's everything's on hold while your body goes to the bourbon and gets rid of it. So just know that, and it will affect you more. So, you know, don't be driving no car after you've been fasting and you have a couple bourbons, do not be driving a car because you could get into some trouble. So that's why I think they drink more, you know, because of that.
Well, and I was reading about specifically ethanol's, like most people, when most kids don't like the taste of ethanol. They don't like the taste of
corn alcohol,
vodka, well, it's all the alcohol. So when your fruit or your grain is fermented, the yeast is eating the sugar from, let's say in bourbon, you're going to have your hops, or you're going to have your corn, or you're going to have your
barley.
The yeast eats the sugar from the fermenting, whatever you're fermenting.
Yeah.
And the yeast processes that and out comes ethanol. Mm-hmm. So it eats sugar, it poops ethanol.
So we're drinking the poop, the yeast poop.
Yeah. The yeast poop. It's magic.
I love it.
And we've been able to
poop.
Harness and make it work. But there's a correlation between those of us with a sweet tooth and how much we like the ethanol.
Oh, interesting.
So some keto people were like me, completely sugar addicts, not even knowing we were sugar addicts.
Yeah, me too.
So we might enjoy the whiskey, the bourbon, the vodka even more than somebody who never was addicted in the first place.
Hmm, okay.
So I suspect on the keto cruise, there are a lot of people that used to eat healthy, quote, healthy grains and pastas and whole grain breads that have given all that up. And now the missing part of in their body and their diet is actually being made up by a beautiful blended Scotch whiskey in a super fancy, expensive drinking cup.
Yeah. There is something I saw that would fit well into the beef bunker, and that is I saw an article on USA Today. A woman stranded at sea survived by eating hard candies. She said she had one lolly left. So, and I was like, I was kind of suspicious, not because I was like, how long did she survive
an
out
hour?
There on lolly? That's what I was thinking, but it's, she was, let's see, blah, 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 blah. I think it was only like 2 days. I'm pretty sure it was 2 days. And I was like, really? I could survive with no food or water for 2 days. It would be uncomfortable, but it'd be quite, it wouldn't be like, especially if I knew I only had to wait 2 days, no problemo.
Right.
Now I'd be thirsty, I'd be pissed, but I could do that. Without food, I can go a fucking month. If I had to, as long as I got some water. And what I would do now, of course, we all know from being lost at sea, is take off your shirt, dip it in the salt water, let it sit there, and just start wringing it out and drink that. Because that dude survived for like 3 or 4 weeks doing that with seawater, this kid. So, but anyway, yeah, she was out there for like 2 days. I don't know if she might have even had some water with her. I don't know. But I was like, survived on lollipops. But they say... It reminds me of that joke with, was it a Monty Python? Or it might have been a Kids in the, not Kids in the Hall, but maybe The Goodies or something. One of those old, maybe British shows where they're like, maybe Kids in the Hall. They had a, there was a, was it a plane crash or something? And people were, you were hungry, so they started eating people within like 6 hours, you know, they're eating the dead bodies. So, like, but in this day and age, it's like, oh my God, you've gone 3 hours without eating? Oh my God. You know, you can go a lot longer without eating, but your body's made to go days without eating if you have to.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. You can
I'm
do
not
it.
Good at waiting days to eat because I have a ready supply of
meat
available.
Yes, we don't need to. It's torturing yourself to look at the steaks in the fridge and go, nope, I'm not eating those. But
I
you could.
I do a 24-hour fast once a week, though.
I'm trying to do that now. I've done that a few times over the last couple months, but I was actually planning on doing it tomorrow. Are you doing it tomorrow?
Well, I'll be fasting from tonight until tomorrow night.
Okay, so
like a
one day, yeah.
Like
I might try to push through
hours.
All day to the next morning if I can, but certainly till dinner I would do it. So I'll be with you in spirit, man.
All right.
Right on. So anything else in the beef bunker you want to talk about?
No, I just wanted to talk about Halloween candy. A little, I don't have an answer for the deep question, and we might have to save it for another show. So I'll pose the question now, and we'll bring it up in a later show. So we have people now we know that have started either focusing on an elimination diet where they're getting rid of processed foods, they're getting rid of sugars and grains.
We know people?
We
know people?
You and I,
okay.
Individually, we know people.
Sure.
Your neighbor that lost 65 pounds because he's on a ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
The carnivore people. And what happens when you start eating more animal protein than you used to is your cholesterol will go up. And there is lots of misinformation about that. So I know it's not a big deal, even though my doctor said, well, you should eat heart-healthy grains and bring your cholesterol numbers down.
By gum? Did he say that too?
No.
Oh.
And I said, no, you shut up. I know what I'm doing. But I don't know enough or have enough resources to tell another person that hasn't bothered to read Gary Taubes, that hasn't read the Nina Teichel's book, that hasn't been following people.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert enough to give somebody specifics on why they're okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we can have a better conversation about that next time.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get a little bit more nuts and boltsy on that.
good.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe keep that short too. Like
yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
we could go 3 hours easy.
Otherwise,
I don't know if I could. I'm not good enough to keep it up for 3 hours. So I'll just start quoting people for three hours. But yeah.
Our last listener, who's still here with us now, will finally leave.
Yeah, but if you are looking for that kind of information, you want to look up people like Dr. Ken Berry, Dr. Jason Fong, Gary Fetke. He's a doctor. Dr. Kate Shanahan, Dr. Annette Bosworth, Dr. Boz, Tim Noakes. There's many, 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 many people. They actually treat patients with the ketogenic and low carb diets, and they know what they're doing. They read labs and they do all that kind of stuff. So
maybe we'll have a little more information for lay people.
Yeah.
Since neither of us are medical doctors.
No.
Okay. And I have a few books I've been reading, a few things coming up that I had notes for, didn't get to in the beginning of the show. I was waiting for the onslaught of jokes.
Mm-hmm. I still got tons more.
I kept waiting for you to put them out there. But I think at this point, we should just call it a night. Maybe you could end with one.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What do I have here? Let's see. I talked about Greta Thunberg. Did you see the all-female spacewalk we had? Did I talk about this? Yeah, it was NASA's first. It was a couple of weeks ago. It was all the astronauts that were out working on whatever they were working on were women.
Mm-hmm.
The first time this happened. NASA was very excited because they only had to pay them 70 cents on the dollar for the male astronauts, so they saved some money there.
Mm-hmm.
No pictures. No pictures were allowed because the lady said that the spacesuits made their butts look fat.
Oh.
So sadly, there's no pictures of that. But a really good historical, event, I think.
I actually heard that the whole spacewalk had to be delayed about 4 days.
Oh, yes? Why would that be?
They were all cycling together.
Cycling together. Mm-hmm. Wow. And a real quick one, we killed, what's his name, al-Baghdadi, was one of the terrorist leaders.
I thought that was a rapper. Baghdadi?
Yeah, Baghdadi. Nope, he's still alive and doing well. Actually, not really doing well. He's went through all his money, and he needs dialysis now, so he needs a ride. If anyone want to volunteer to take Baghdadi to the dialysis place, we'll put the number out later. I don't know who that I'm talking about.
I can remember 3 times that the U.S. announced that they killed Baghdadi.
Oh, yeah?
3 times, and there's been no pictures. Any of the 3 times.
Interesting.
So I don't have any reason time over when Obama said it.
Well, they did a DNA test on him, and by the way, they said Syrian Kurds said that a spy had stolen Baghdadi's underpants so they could get a DNA test so they could confirm.
No. Captain Underpants. Yeah.
And this is no run-of-the-mill pair of camel jockey shorts, Sable. This was a fully armed suicide speedo that could have gone off at any moment. So hats off to those guys for that work.
All right. That was pretty good. All right, Dave. Let's call it.
All right. Let's call it.